Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy, holy name.
For He has done great things.
He has done great things.
Oh, yes, He has.
For He hath done great things.
So great.
Yes, He hath done great things. Bless His holy name.
He has done great things.
For He has done great things.
He's done it all.
Yes, He has done great things. Oh, He has done great things. Bless His holy name.
The bride will
bless the Lord.
Just bless the Lord.
Start off with the announcements real quick, because I don't know what's going to happen in here. I'm so glad to be here. So about the South Carolina trip, we are leaving at 5 a.m. So be here, please, by 4:30. Just a little bit of what information that I've gathered. There's going to be a service Thursday night, 7 o'clock, Friday night, 7 o'clock, Saturday night, 7 o'clock. And then Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. And then that's when we'll be coming back. So more to come on that. Stay tuned for more announcements. Oh, go ahead, Sister Jen.
Amen.
I am glad to wake up.
Oh, my.
That's a blessing. It's not guaranteed. I just want to edify.
Yes.
Nothing else that I can do. I don't know what God wants. I try to control things, but that's, like I said, it doesn't work out. So but need to seek Him more. That's how I know. I can't see my loved ones that have crossed over yet, so that's His. I'm just, oh, glad to be here.
Amen, sis. Go ahead, sir.
I like to hear that.
Amen.
I concur 100%. You know, I was been chewing on that. I now know. All week. You know, it's you know, I've been lulling it over. I've been just thinking about it and dwelling on it, because, you know, that's what we do. We dwell on it. If you set up a place for God to dwell, you know what? He's going to show up. It's a guarantee. You know, I was thinking about, I now know. Because you know what? It required faith until that point.
Mm.
Until you know. You know, when I say I now know, that's a revelation.
Amen.
That means that you now know. That means that it's no longer needs faith for it.
Yeah.
That means that it's been revealed to you.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, it is cold and flu season. And people are sick I work around the sick people. I got family that's sick. And I was starting to feel sick. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to accept it. I got a trip coming. And I'm excited for it. I don't know how it's going to work.
Come on.
I don't know. We're having service. And we're getting up and be there at 4:30 in the morning. You know what? God's already provided. You know, you got to speak positive. You got to push. You know, I use these testimonies.
Yeah.
Sister Sue, I love that still. You got to persuade yourself. You got to push yourself. Because you come in here, you're like, oh, man, I'm tired. It's 7:30. It's 7:30. I've been through the whole day.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't want to be tired on God. He's been too good to me. I started feeling the body aches kicking in. I started feeling
What's
like the congestion and my nose was all this. I was like, Satan, you can have it back. I don't want it.
Yeah.
I don't want it because I want to go. I don't want a fever. I don't want to even want. You smell that? I can smell. I can smell it. You know, that's just small things.
Yeah.
But that's why I can say I now know.
Oh yeah.
I thought I was gonna be sick. I thought I was gonna do this and that, but I now know what I'm doing.
Amen.
You know, that's why we show up to this place, is because I want to know more.
I want
to
know.
So I can say I now know. Because you know, it's that's how the body change is gonna happen. We're gonna have that faith, we're gonna be walking on that faith and revelated faith. And then eventually when you now know what the body change is, it's done. We've
That's
seen
right.
our loved
it's
ones.
Revealed.
We've now had a wedding supper.
Yeah.
It's a revelation at that point.
Yeah.
That's how sweet it is, because all you got to do is you just got to live.
Amen.
That's what I love about you talking about faith and action. Yeah. You know what's faith and action is showing up.
That's right.
Show consistency is faith and action.
Right.
Being where you know, I was blessed because I was thinking, you know, I got the text message for the logs, for the wood. That means you had faith in me to show up. Somebody had faith. Someone texted me. I don't know who did it, but I was in the bread. I showed up. But you know what happens? So that's a natural type, but you know what you end up doing is you set a precedence.
Yeah.
You know, you set a precedence in the natural. You start thinking about God more often. You start dwelling on it. I know that sometimes we got to push ourselves. You know, you put all these distractions and all these worries in the way, all the worries of the flesh and the world. You know what? Where's God going to fit in? And that sounds something simple, but I tell you what, God dwells in simplicity.
Amen.
If
Amen.
You just really read the Bible, pray on it, I'm telling you what, God works in mysterious ways.
That's right.
You'll be like, you know, I don't know how he's going to provide for this. You know what? Nobody did.
No.
Nobody knew how he was going to provide until he did it.
That's right.
But you know, they never falter. They falter not at the promise. They stagger not. You read these scriptures. These scriptures aren't just written just to be written down.
Right.
You read these scriptures, they encourage you.
Amen.
So when you feel, because you have 10 inlets. You have 10 inlets that Satan can play with. Who you yield your members to? I mean, it's in there. It's in there. I'm just saying, I'm excited. Because I know I showed up. I didn't show up with my thinking.
Right.
I didn't, you know, I was like, yeah, I'm healed, but I'm not going to sit down. But that's a miracle.
Yeah.
They say, I'm touched.
Yeah.
I'm touched. I'm not claiming anything else. No matter what the devil says. And that goes for everything.
Yeah.
No matter, because he says, I'm more than a conqueror. He said, what shall stand against you? No, he said, not death. He started off with not death.
Right.
I mean, you can't
That's
get any more
one.
Than death.
That's
he said, nor life, nor principalities, no. So it doesn't matter what we go against.
Ah.
You have some greater is he. These things, we should walk in.
Oh, yeah.
Sister Jennifer, it turns me on because you know what?
Yes.
You got up here
yes.
first. You got up here before all the song leaders did.
Right.
You beat them up there. That turns me on. That means that someone's hungry for it.
Amen.
So if she's hungry for it, I want to be hungry for it.
Amen.
I see other people hungry for it. That's what a body does. Because you know what we do? We just bounce off of each other.
That's
we're family.
It.
Like they said, if you can't say it here, you can't say it out there.
Come on.
This is where it's easy. We can identify with the believer.
Yes.
So, Lord, I thank you for revelation. I thank you that I can now say, I now know. Because that's a revelation.
Amen.
And what that revelation does is it clears up all confusion.
Amen.
There's no confusion. Because before that, you know, you can battle with yourself. And you can make that walk as easy as you want. You can say, you know what? Lord said, I am. Or you're like, well, I'll get there somehow. And some people struggle. I struggle with myself. But you know what? When you see it, nobody can talk you out of it.
Right.
Nobody can take it away from you.
Right.
Nobody can tell me anything about this message. Nobody can tell me about these people. That I'd be like, it would change anything about it. Because you know what I'm seeing? I don't see flesh. I see God.
That's it.
I see God.
Only.
I see the manifestation. I see the greater works that you all will do. Amen. That is a prophecy that you will fulfill.
Right.
I'm not stuck on like, well, they falter in the flesh. I see no flesh. I see the blood. Right. That's what God sees.
Yeah.
God sees the blood. That's what I see.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I see is the blood. So, Lord, thank you for revelation. Yeah. Thank you for another opportunity that I can make it through here the door. And I'm thankful that I'm going to get 8 hours of sleep tonight. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm going to wake up feeling rested because I'm looking forward to fellowship.
Amen.
I get 4 days of fellowship.
Yeah.
They're like, well, I was telling my family, like, 4 days of church?
Oh,
I'm like,
goodness.
No. You got a mistake. Because there's like this 7 o'clock service, but that's a whole day before 7 o'clock. We're gonna have church.
Yeah.
I'm going to have church without church. It says where two or three are gathered, I'll be in the midst. And there's a big band out there, so I know more than two or three are going. So I'm excited.
Amen.
But you forgot tonight about Brother Seth. So you get a 5-course meal this week. So go ahead, sis.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I saw something, a video, the other day, and it turned me on.
Amen.
And what it was is they had some tuning forks, and a couple of them were tuned to the same frequency, and one wasn't. And there was a dead tuning fork, and they took another one that was tuned to the same frequency, and they just hit it and got it close, and it started vibrating. And I thought, now that's a dead tuning fork. That's just a dead tuning fork that testifies to the Word of God that when you're on the right frequency, Revelations 14:3, Pastor Moore was preaching it. They're singing a new song. We're singing that new song.
Oh, yeah. That frequency.
We're going to bring somebody to life. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Woo!
I can call my own. Here in your embrace, where your mercy overflows. It's here that all my doubts and fears just melt away. I lay my burdens down and I look upon your face. You are my refuge, you are my sanctuary. When I feel afraid, you're my hiding place. You are my refuge, and when the storm is raging, underneath your wings, I rejoice and sing. You are my refuge. I have found a place I can call my own. Here in your embrace, where your mercy overflows. It's here that all my doubts and fears just melt away. I lay my burdens down and I look upon your face. You are my refuge, you are my sanctuary. When I feel afraid, you're my hiding place. You are my refuge. And when the storm is raging, underneath your wings, I rejoice and sing. You are my refuge. Dwells in the secret place of the Most High God. the shadow of your wings. You were my refuge, you were my sanctuary. When I feel afraid, you're my hiding place. You are my refuge. And when the storm is raging, underneath your wings, I rejoice and sing. You are my refuge.
All right, real quick testimony, real quick. I'm here. I just wanted to say I'm happy to be here tonight. Looking forward to what we have to eat tonight. You know, I know we got South Carolina tomorrow and this week, but I got to eat tonight. So I'm looking forward to tonight's food. Good to have Brother Jeremiah back with us. Appreciate that, brother. Love him to no end. I'm happy to have him here. But somebody else I love even more than I love Jeremiah. My wife, today is her birthday. So give her a round of applause there. Appreciated her and Elise singing that song. They're just busybodies working around, but I really appreciate my wife. And when you have somebody that you know, I can go on a bunch of accolades and a lot of things about her. She's just perfect. So I can start there. But she's a perfect mother, a perfect wife. There's nothing. She doesn't have a flaw. And then you add on to that she believes this word. So if I add that on, it takes away any flaw that she would have had. Because she believes this word, it gives me a rest. That gives me a refuge. You know, we've got a job to do here, you know, get this word out. And if you got somebody there helping you do it, it makes everything easier. You know, Brother Seth said one time at a wedding, he said, you know, he said, I hope your joys are doubled and your cares are halved. You know, when you get in a union, that's what happens here. My joys have been doubled since I've been married. And all my cares have been cut in half. And so I really appreciate her. Happy birthday to her. Couple of housekeeping things. So I guess the most noticeable one is I'll be wearing a mask through the end of the season. You guys are right. You are sick. So I'm trying to avoid getting sick. So I'll be wearing my mask to protect me from anybody else. So I have to do it. So that's what you'll see. So you'll see this all the way through the season. The other thing is we got the sign-up thing back there. We got that going. I will say that when you have signed up, when you see your name on the thing, you got to be at the church at least 35 minutes early. So just know that if you're signing up for stuff. You got to be here before. If we got to turn everything on, you got to do it before people get here. So just that as a FYI there. But other than that, I'm just very, very grateful to be here. I'm looking forward to the service. I'm just ecstatic to have my brothers back in here. And I just wanted to say happy birthday to my wife. Oh, last thing. This is one of those, like, the thought that counts. But I was going to have cupcakes back there, but we're getting up at 4:30 in the morning. So there's nothing going to be back there tonight. So just wish her happy birthday on your way out. But other than that, God bless you guys.
Brother John, you'll be the last one.
Okay. Thank God. Amen. James and Courtney are a pillar in this assembly. Amen. They do so much for God. It's unbelievable. And James, you're not going to be getting up at 4:30. You're going to be getting up well before that. I just want to praise God. You know, God is so good. I wanted to get up Sunday, but it's just so hard to squeeze in on Sundays. Now, that's a good thing. I like that. You know, I like it. You know, there's a time on Wednesdays or, you know, some Sundays where no one would get up. And I love it when they can only sing a few songs. But now they've told the song leaders, you know, to get a song in no matter what if there's testimonies. Take control. And I just praise God. You know, God is one who does miracles. You know, that woman sitting back there, you know, we're going to take a trip. We're going to take what they would call a trip of a lifetime. We're going to go to Hawaii. We've tried to do that 3 times, and, you know, so we're serving God. We go to church on Sunday night, go to Bible study, and we come home, and I had to do something, and Dawn went to let the dogs out. And there's one dog that particularly likes her, and that dog knocked her to the ground. Now, this is a woman who's broke enough bones that she knows when a bone breaks. She can hear it. She can feel it, and it was like, oh, my goodness. She broke her foot. I said, oh, Lord, you know, here, that would make us cancel everything, you know, and say, well, you know, God, you got a reason. But, you know, we believe God. And we ask God. And so, you know, you believe God, but then you get an X-ray, you know, and lo and behold, there is no fracture. God is real. God is real.
You know, he loves us. He loves us, and he takes care of us. And you know, there is a lot of sickness going around the body. Pray for Dwayne's family. They are sick. Pray for them. You know, Satan tries to do all he can do, but we got his number. We are the Word of God made flesh. And you know, what we speak, it's real, and it comes to pass. You know, just like Jesus. You know, and I see so much, you know, that revelation of seeing the offices of God and how he stepped into an office where he had those rules to him, and he didn't, he had to see us do it. And that explains a lot in the Bible. It explains a lot. And these revelations, and that was hot off the press. I mean, Pastor didn't have that before he came in here. And how many hot off the presses have we gotten? I mean, it's getting close. It's getting hot and heavy. You guys are going to have a wonderful time in South Carolina. We won't see you again until the last of the month. Pray for us. We're ambassadors. You know, we're going to have a good time, but we still are going to be used. And the Word of God's going a long distance, but it goes even further, too. Praise God.
Amen. God bless the testimonies. And, you know, I'm really excited to go on this trip, but I'm also just as excited to get out of here and get my new body, too. So we've got to balance on it all. So let's go ahead and sing I Want to Know More, because it's inspired by Seth, what he said. Because I come in here to know more. Yeah. Kia G, and then we'll get him up.
I wanna know more about my Jesus. I wanna know more about my Lord. I wanna know more about that mansion I'm gonna receive as my reward. That homeland, I mean to go there some way, somehow. And after I reach that heavenly city, I mean to know more than I know now. I want to know more about my Jesus. I wanna know more
about my Jesus, I want to know more. revelation. Thank you for the word, Lord, that lets us know who you are. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God, Lord. And you reveal your word to us, you reveal yourself to us. And we appreciate that, Lord. It's the greatest thing that we can get is a revelation. Thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, for another service where we have two or three to gather together where you're in the midst. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the songs, Lord. And as we approach this preaching part of the service, have your way. Give us what we need. Answer the questions, Lord. You know what we need to hear tonight. Move both the hearer and the speaker out of the way. Be with us as we travel, Lord, and be with the trips and safe journey. Be with the services, Lord. Bless them. Move mightily, Lord. Let us come back with a testimony. If we don't get raptured, did not our hearts rejoice within us as we walk with him along the way. Lord, be with this bride. Touch her physical needs, Lord, her health. Lord, there's some out tonight, Lord, but you said by your stripes we're healed. We ask that you move on their behalf. We send your word, Lord, trusting you, knowing that you've got the whole world in your hands, Lord. Heal their bodies, give them strength, give them health. Have your way with the rest of the service. We thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask, amen. You may be seated. It's good to see everybody this evening. Good to be back home. No place I'd rather be than right here at home, where my refuge is, where my protection is. No greater place I could be. And our opportunity to hear the Word of God, hear God talk to us again. We're thankful for that. And looking forward to the service tonight, the trips this weekend. God will bless it. We know he does. It'll be a good time. We're looking forward to it. Remember, there will be no services this weekend here at all. So those not going, keep us in your prayers. And of course, naturally, there will be no song practice tomorrow as well. So keep those things in your mind. So it is good to be home. I had to travel for work a little bit. Ended up traveling all the way to Germany. And 6-hour time difference, so I just got caught up in the services this week, and you guys always have service, you always have church. God is good to this group here. He's always given us our word. He's always given us our next set of instructions that we need to hear, and we're thankful for that, because God doesn't let any word go out void. He's got a purpose and a reason for everything he preaches, everything he says. There's a reason behind it. And it's so important as believers. It's not in a sense that we're coming in here and we're all nervous. Oh, I can't miss anything. God will reveal the word to you. But God wants a believer to take that word and apply it in their life, is the point I'm trying to make. It's no good. The word does you no good if you don't use it. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of letters in a book. But if it's a revelation to you, you can put it to work in your life, and it will automatically happen. It'll bless you. And God will help you along the way. And bear with me here. I'm trying to get my file ready. My wife always tells me I should do it a certain way, and I never do it that way. So, here, I got it now. See, I know how to work it. And, you know, old dog is hard to learn new tricks, they say. So. But it doesn't mean there's not a better way. But it is good to be back. And listen to Sunday service, and not too many places I've ever went to church would say God's waiting to know something. And so that was a nice bit of information God gave us there Sunday. With a main point that what God is wanting to see is manifestation of his word. The real point is that God has put us on free moral agency, and he doesn't make us do anything. Yet we are the vessels that he's chosen to use. We are the hands of God. We're the mouth of God. We are the very vessels that are going to manifest the word of God. And so somebody's got to be here to receive that word and actually say, yes, I do. I'm going to do it. And a thought is no good if it never comes to life. It's just a thought. And how many of those do we have that pass through our head and go out the other side and we never remember no more? But something that's real, it comes a manifestation. And that's what God wants to see, is he wants to see a manifestation. But he's waiting to watch you to see what you're going to do with his word. Amen. He's waiting to see if you're going to go all the way. Right. He's waiting to see if you're going to amen. He's waiting to see if it's too hard on you. You know, many people have come here for a long time, but lo and behold, something along the way stumbles them up. Yeah. And they don't endure to the end. Amen. And the promise is, he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. If you don't endure to the end, that promise is not to you. So we got to do these things. Somebody's got to do it. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Hebrews. The 11th chapter, very familiar. I'm going to start with some basics here, and then we'll move on to some other things. But I don't think you can ever preach faith too many times. And you say, where do you back that up? Real easy, Brother Branham said, you can never overemphasize the importance of revelation. Amen. Because faith is a revelation. So to talk about faith, you're talking about a revelation, and the prophet says you can never overemphasize a revelation. So I want to slow down a little bit and talk to us about what faith is, how it works, and we'll work ourselves up and down through the message, Lord willing. So Hebrews 11th chapter, and we're going to start with verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now that's a powerful scripture. A powerful statement, and there's a few things in there. First of all, faith has substance behind it. It's something real. It's not something you hope so. It's not something that you think might be. It's actually real to you. There's substance behind it, Brother James. You believe it so much, it's as real as you're sitting there tonight. And that's how a revelation works. Faith is a revelation. God has showed you something. God has revealed something to you. And nobody can take that away from you. I don't care what they do. I don't care how much science is against it. If it's a real revelation, there's substance to it. It's real to you. And nothing can take that away from you. But there's something else about it here. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now, that's where the rubber meets the road a little bit. This isn't something, this Word of God, these promises of this Bible, when it's in the promised form, it's not even something you've seen yet. This rapture that we believe in, you haven't seen that yet. But it takes a real belief. It takes a real revelation to hold into those things. You got to be like Abraham that called things that were not as though they are. But that's how faith works. And the only person that can give you that faith, give you that revelation, is the Lord himself. It doesn't take faith anymore that you're here tonight. I see you. Now, before I got here tonight, because I know some of you quite well, I had faith that you're going to be here. I was pretty sure you're going to be here tonight, Brother Dustin. Brother Moore, I was pretty confident you're going to be here. I had faith in that. I'm just using this as an example. But now that I've seen it, I don't need faith anymore. I've seen it come to pass. It doesn't require faith, but what faith is you're believing in something that you haven't really fully seen with these natural eyes altogether. But that's what it takes, because I'm going to read on here. But faith is a substance. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You realize it takes faith to believe that this world was created by God? Go to school for a little while. That's not what they're going to teach you. They're going to teach you the Big Bang Theory. They're going to talk about some atom that was the first atom, and from that an explosion happened, and other atoms came out of that atom, and then things started evolving, and that's how this world came about. But it took the creative power of God to frame this world. But you didn't see that happen. So it takes faith. It takes a revelation from God. And as simple as that sounds, there's people not here tonight because they don't believe God created this world. But thank God you have a revelation. You actually believe God. Those that believe God and seek God must believe that He is. You must have a true belief, a true revelation. You must have faith that God really exists. That's the starting point. Otherwise, you're wasting your time here tonight. You got to believe God is real. He's as real as you're sitting here tonight. Or His word is not going to mean anything to you. He's the one that framed this world. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. I'm trying to get down to my scriptures. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God, but without faith. It is impossible to please Him. Now think about that. You can't please God without faith. You can do all kinds of things, but if it's not with faith, you're not pleasing God. Faith without works is dead, and works without faith is dead. Either way, they both got to go together. If your works is because you're trying to please God, and it's not by faith, it's just by knowledge, that does not please God. But if you have a revelation that God has given you and you love Him and then the works automatically come out of you, that's what pleases God. Amen. It's impossible to please Him any other way. That was the difference between Cain and Abel. Cain had a nice sacrifice in the Garden of Eden. He brought a sacrifice, but he didn't bring it by revelation. He brought it by something he could do. He's trying to make it look beautiful. Satan's in beauty is what Brother Branham thought. But anyhow, Cain brought it with his own ideals. He brought it with his own works. Here Abel was by revelation, though, by faith, said, I know it's the blood, and I got to kill something to be a sacrifice for me. Amen. It's impossible to please God without faith. Amen. For he that cometh to God, this is what I was just saying, must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. My title tonight is Perfect Faith. I didn't come up with anything creative. I'm just going to stay with the basics. Because we have perfect faith in this day and hour. And Brother Branham said, faith is a revelation. It's God preaching the word to you. And I'm going to read Romans 10 tonight, because I told you I'm starting with basics, and then I'll get to where Brother Moore left off on Sunday. But faith is a revelation from God.
Amen.
It's the Word of God being revealed to you. And then because it's revealed to you, you believe it so much that even though you haven't seen a rapture, or even though you didn't see God create the heaven and the earth, or even though you haven't seen your loved ones show up in heaven yet, you have such a revelation that are independent of all those things you haven't seen. You stand on it, you believe on it, and you act on it because it's a revelation to you. And without that, you cannot please God. Let's turn over to Romans 10 real quick. I just want to make a few points. Verse 13. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, many people have read that and thought everybody's going to be saved. But you know, this scripture is true. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that is who's got saved, but just not everybody calls upon the name of the Lord. How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? The non-believers do not call upon Him. And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? I just read you where Paul said, those that seek God must believe that He is. How do you do that if you have not heard, is what he just said. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Making it simple for you tonight. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I wanted to tie those two things together. You can't get perfect faith without the preaching of the word. And perfect faith comes by perfect word. And we'll get into that in a little bit, but I want to say a few of these things. You do not believe in God because you're educated. You do not believe in God because you've gotten a bunch of books and you go home and you study on your own. That's not how faith comes. And Paul said those that seek God must believe that he is. Yeah. And then right here he says, how can you believe him if you've not heard about him? Amen. It takes a preacher preaching the word of God to you for you to even be able to get faith. Amen. You want a revelation? You want to please God? You want faith because it's impossible to please God without faith? Find you a preacher bringing it word upon word upon word, and that's how faith will come to you, because the preacher will preach the word. It's not even the preacher giving you faith. The preacher's just preaching the word, and God comes right now on that word, and he reveals it to you. That's how it works. That's how God ordained it to work. Brother Branham said he could have picked stars, he could have picked the sun, he could have picked all kinds of ways that we would in our mind rather had it happen. But as I always say, he's got us snotting and snorting and yelling up here, but God chose the foolish of preaching to confound the wise. Oh, you're not going to get this because you're studying. That's even what Brother Branham said about the book of Revelation. You're not going to understand this book by casual study. It'll take the Holy Spirit to give it to you. And God's chosen ways to send you a preacher that preaches the word of God, and then God quickens that word to you, and that word becomes a revelation, which is the faith of God in your very life. Amen. That's how this thing works. Amen. That's how you're born again. That's your starting point. You need to run into a man that's preaching the word. That's why Brother Moore always drives home the point, and I'll back him up tonight. It doesn't make sense to me that you're staying home and thinking you're going to find God. That's not how you find him. That's not biblical. That's against God's ways. I know I keep repeating it, but Paul made it so simple. How can you believe on him whom you've not heard? It didn't say how can you believe on him who you read about, who you've studied about. It says how do you believe on him whom you've not heard? You need a preacher to preach to you to even know that God's real. For it to be a revelation. Sure, we got mental faith. Sure, we've got an education faith. Sure, our parents raised a certain way. But I'm talking about driving a home where it's something that can never be taken away from you. You need a preacher to preach to you and let God reveal himself to you. And then you'll never be the same again. That's how this thing works. But when that happens to you, it'll change you from the inside out, Brother James. When that happens to you, then you'll start being like Abel. Then you'll start being like Enoch. Then you start being like all those other stories in there, because God's revealed himself to you and you got faith. Here's the thing about faith. If it's real faith, it's going to produce action. I ain't got to pull it out of you. I ain't going to make you do it. If it's real faith on the inside of you, it will automatically produce the word of an hour. Or you don't believe what you say you believe. That's what's so great about this thing. When this thing becomes real to you, it's so one with you that you want to step out on this thing. It's who you are. It's your very being. That's how it's always worked. Oh, and one more thing I wanted to say, but I'm going to save you time. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked Peter, who do you say I, the Son of Man, am? Of course, Peter said, some say Isaiah, some say Jeremiah, some say one of the prophets. Then Jesus looked at him and said, but who do you say I am, Peter? You're the Son of God, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at him and said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, I told you I wanted to start with some basics. So first of all, you can't please God without faith. Faith is substance behind it. It's real. It's something God's revealed to you. Even though you haven't seen it, it's as real as you as you're sitting here tonight. It comes to you by preaching. You can't get it any other way. Okay. And once you get it, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Amen. God, gates of hell can't touch it. Gates of hell can't take it away from you. Let come what may from day to day. But if you got that real faith in you, you overcome every bit of it. Amen. Oh, I ain't speaking this way like it's trying to put fear in you. Jeremiah's speaking coughing up there. Oh, I got something I got to do now. No, you automatically do it. I'm speaking it because it's by revelation. It's in me. I ain't got time to listen to the devil. Oh, I got one blow and you ain't got no blow on me. I got a revelation. And the gates of hell can't prevail against that revelation. I know who I am.
Come on. Amen.
I'm going all the way. I'm enduring to the end. I really believe that God is who He says He is. It's been revealed to me. I don't care how much rocket science ends up. I don't care how much cloning they think they can do. I don't care how much physics they got. They ain't ever out physics God. He's the one that made physics work the way it does. And that's a revelation to me. And you'll never take that away from me. Oh, that gets me excited. Oh, that gets me turned on. Because that's how this thing works. And that's what perfect faith is all about. It's a real revelation of the Word of God. No doubt behind it at all. Oh, I ain't talking about the devil flying over. I'm talking about that revelation you got. The devil, how many times has the devil flown over your head? All your life. Ever since you've been born again. But something in the inside of you, despite all of his flying over, despite all the doubt he tries to bring, despite all the lies he tells you, you're still here tonight. Why is that? Because you got a real revelation. Devil ain't going to beat you. You're going to whip up on him. That's how this thing works. Oh, that gets me excited, Brother James. Oh, I ain't done yet. But I got to slow down.
Amen.
I want to read a quote. I actually had it the last time I preached. But it is clear to me God wanted to use it tonight. Because when I read this to you, it'll make sense why he wanted to use it tonight. This is out of the Church Age book. I believe it's about page 154, 155, somewhere in there. But Brother Branham says, in every age, comma, and every age is the age of the Holy Ghost for the true believer. And I say, in every age, the evidence was the same. Those who had the Spirit, the teacher, heard the word, and the Spirit in them took the word and taught it. In other words, revealed it, he said, to them. And they were of the group that heard the messenger and his message and took it and lived it. In every age, that's the way this thing's worked. In every age, the believer got a revelation on their day and its message. They took that word. They believed that word. It was the evidence of things they had not even seen. And they walked down that word and they lived that word. That's how it has worked in every single age. That's what perfect faith brings to your life. It does bring action, Brother Moore, because you actually believe in... I can't say it any simpler. If you really believe in what you say you believe in, you'll do it. That's just the way, that's what I'm trying to say. It'll automatically come out of you. Or otherwise, you don't believe in it. And it's somebody in every age through every scripture because of the way God chose to do it was he was going to use human beings. And in every age, Old Testament to the New Testament, somebody heard from God. God gave them a revelation. And that person or those people stepped out on that revelation and lived their day and its message. That's how faith works. That's what faith in action is all about. Think about Noah, what he did, Brother James. Now, I'm going to rightly divide some things for you. Noah had problems. That ain't altogether what we're talking about. Don't get caught up into your daily issues. This is much further than that. What we're talking about is what God's trying to accomplish today. What his word's about today. That's what's going to come out of your life. Because that's what your revelation's in. Amen. So here was Noah. God visited Noah, and it had never rained in the way that God said it was going to rain. Not one time. Now, I've learned through history, and Brother Branham even taught us, that they were pretty educated in Noah's days. They were able to go up into the sky and investigate, Brother James, evaluate what was going on. And they ain't never went up there and saw where there was going to be rain coming down, Brother Desmond. In other words, science in that day was against what God told Noah. It was. They couldn't prove a thing. And non-believers, they needed proof. They always want to be able to see it and touch it and feel it. That's just human nature. But that ain't got faith in it. But here was Noah.
Amen.
Not so educated. Not of the high and mighty. Not in the ones that were flying up and investigating. But he got visited by God. And God said, Noah, it's upset me. I've even made man. And I'm getting ready to destroy this thing, and so to speak, and start over.
Yeah.
It wasn't a full start over, but you know what I'm saying. Wipe him off the face of the earth. We're going to repopulate this earth in a different altogether. But Noah, you got to build an ark, and this is the dimensions I want it. See how God works? He didn't even do it for Noah. He didn't say, I'm going to speak that board, and we're going to put that board here. Noah had to do something, Brother Deskins. Noah had to move by faith. Noah had work to do. I've always said that. That's just God's way. I know God has shown us miracles. He has snapped his fingers and cancer's been vomited up. We know all that. God's able to do that. I ain't taking none of that away. Don't get my point away. But God likes somebody that believes him and steps out on his work. And it ain't just a bunch of words. They actually go do what he asked them to do.
Amen.
That's how God likes to see things happen. And he told Noah, no, it's going to rain. I'm going to destroy this earth. You got to build the ark this way. He didn't build the ark for Noah, Brother Moore. He had to sit back and say, now I'm going to watch and see if Noah's going to do it. But Noah had faith. Noah had a real revelation. Noah had something that despite he'd never seen the rain before, he said, I know it's going to rain.
Amen.
I don't care what science says. I don't care what education says.
Amen.
I don't care what my wife says. I don't care what anybody around me says. God told me it's going to rain.
Amen.
And Noah couldn't help himself. Despite his flesh problems, and he had them. I'm not going to go through them. I can read. They're in the Bible. They talk about them. He had issues. But the one thing he had right is he had a revelation. He had the one thing that pleased God. And because that was, he really believed what he said he believed, he went to work. He started building an ark. And he said, hey, he said, make them this length, this many cubits. Don't cut it too long. Don't cut it too short. We need it exactly the way God said. I'm just going to say it again. I've said this before, but I think God likes to remind you that God's peculiar about his instructions. He don't like one word messed up. He don't like your thinking in it at all. Oh, I know God said this. This is me trying to help you. This ain't me trying to rebuke you. I'm trying to help you get to where you need to go faster. God will give you instructions in your everyday life. And we as humans sometimes said, I know God said this, but a little bit of this ain't going to hurt. He's okay with this. That ain't how God works. If God said go dip in the river seven times, or go work here, or go apply for a job here that you're not even qualified for, God wants you to trust him by faith. He wants to see if you're going to really believe him. And he's peculiar. He wants those instructions followed to the T. And it ain't. I'm not trying to make it where, but you listen to God. Be sensitive to what he's trying to tell you. Follow his instructions. That's what Noah had to do. If Noah had got one of those cubits wrong, that boat wouldn't have been the right balance. It wouldn't have floated. God built it just the right way for how the storm was going to come, how the rain was going to fall. And that boat withstood every bit of it. All because Noah had a revelation and followed what God said. That's how faith works, people. And despite what science in that day said, what they'd never seen it rain that way before, Noah ignored every bit of it because he had real faith. But Noah had to go to work. Noah had to do what God told him to do. Oh, we got all kinds of stories like those. Abraham, this old man, Sarah, old lady, you're going to have a child. And the Bible says Abraham staggered not at the promises of God.
Amen.
Brother Branham described him. He said, Sarah, let's start putting the room together. Let's get the cradle ready. The baby's coming. And it didn't matter if it took 25 years. But Abraham stood there and went to work, so to speak. Manifested what he really believed in. Never stopped believing it, Brother Moore. Preached to Sarah every day, so to speak, until that body change came and he had a baby. Well, how about up here? It's still a phrase from Brother James. I don't need just Old Testament stories. I got New Testament stories.
Amen.
Not only do I have New Testament stories, I got present tense day stories.
Right.
There's a group of believers somewhere on the face of the earth. I believe we're some of those people that's alive today that hear the Word of God and have a real revelation to where they step out on it.
Talk about it.
They don't just say it with a bunch of words. Their actions actually prove what they believe in.
Right? Right.
Brother Childress, lost popularity in this message. He could have had the church full. My understanding before I was here, at one point he did. But he went to work. He heard God give him some instructions. He came in and said, the bride will come this way by revelation, and this revelation, or she ain't going. That was hard on some people. You think you're the only one that has it? Oh, you could have said that in a nicer way. Didn't stop Brother Childers. Didn't stop his revelation. Because he knew what God revealed to him. He said, I got to still preach it. You get up here and he start preaching grace in such a way it scared him to death. But it didn't stop him. People started leaving because, oh, you're just going to teach your people to live bad. And Brother Childers had a balance. He said, I know what God showed me. I don't care if y'all leave me. I know what God showed me. And that's how real this thing's got to be to you. It's got to be so real to you that despite whether your family goes with you, whether your spouse goes with you, whether your girlfriend goes with you, whether your boyfriend goes with you, whether your mom and dad go with you, you got to be able to walk in here for yourself and say, God has dealt with me. He's revealed himself to me. This thing's real to me. Whether Brother Moore ever comes back, this thing's real to me.
Amen.
That's how real it needs to be.
Amen.
I'm not here because Brother Moore's here. I'm here because God has revealed himself to me.
Amen.
Now, I got a revelation. I need my pastor who's ordained to lead me through. That's the other side of the coin. That ain't what I'm talking about. You need to have God so real to you that despite who's going to this church,
Amen.
You believe it.
Amen.
Despite who's up here preaching, you believe it.
Amen.
That's how this thing's got to work. And it's how it's always worked.
Amen.
Oh, we manifest scriptures every day because we have faith. Oh, when you see that hour approaching, gather yourself together that much more.
Amen.
This day, that scripture's fulfilled by people that have a true revelation. They make it a priority to get to the house. They make it a priority to come to the Sunday night. They make it a priority to get to every service they possibly can get to. Sure, things get in the way, but a real believer with faith says, I'm gathering myself together.
Amen.
That's who I am. That's what I need. We manifest our day in this message with every heartbeat if you have real faith. Action's got to come out, as Brother Moore said. This ain't just words. Oh, I love you. This church is the best thing that ever happened to me. I don't see you tonight. You know things I like? Things I consider in that list of good things that happened to me? That I don't get rid of them. I don't just take them lightly. My wife, outside of salvation, is the best thing that ever happened to me. You see, I still love her. I still hang around her. Because I really do believe what I said. And those ain't just words. I love her. I'm going to go home with her tonight, not you. I'm just giving you a description. Because I really do think she's the best thing that's happened to me since other than God. And if what I'm telling you is true, my life should show that. It should express that. You should see me get in the car with her tonight. You should see me emphasize a little bit, put some time in with her. You know I emphasize having some time with my wife. Now, God comes before even all the that stuff, but I love her. I like to be around her a little bit. So I try to take a little time out to put around her because she means something to me. It ain't just words I'm telling you. My life will manifest what I'm saying.
Amen. Amen.
And that's what God's point was Sunday. Don't just come in here with a bunch of flowery words. This thing's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. Oh, Brother Moore, I love you so much. And we ain't never seen you again. I don't mean it. That means that wasn't real.
Amen.
That was just words.
Amen.
And James himself in the chapter before what Brother Moore read said, don't just be a hearer of the word. Be a doer of the word. The doing of the word is what God wants. That's one of the main points I want to make tonight, is somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to say amen.
Amen.
Somebody's got to say, give me the book.
Yes.
Somebody's got to eat the book. Somebody's got to be the ambassador. Somebody's got to build the ark. Somebody's got to go to work tomorrow and represent God. Somebody's got to come to church and clean it. Somebody's got to pay their tithe. Somebody's got to do it or it won't be done.
Amen. Amen.
Sure, God can raise up rocks, but all he's going to do is raise up rocks for somebody to do it. God wants somebody to do it. And people that get a true revelation, they will step up to the plate every single time. Joshua, be strong and courageous. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Go forward and take the land. Joshua didn't hesitate, Brother Dustin. He had faith. He had a revelation that God promised in that land. I don't care how big the spy or how big the people over there are. I don't care how great their armies are. They're all falling down at my feet because God promised me that thing. Brother Branham said faith has muscles behind it. It puts the devil in his place. I don't care how many lies he tries to tell you. When you get perfect faith, you send the devil on his way.
Amen.
But you'll do it when it's real to you. When you really believe it. The only time that you hesitate is when you aren't sure. You don't have faith. That happens to all of us in our life before. I'm not so sure about this, so I ain't going to step out. But when you're sure about something, when it's a real revelation, you step out on it. Now, don't just step out on it because it feels good. Don't step out on it because your emotions are high. You don't step out on it because you got a bunch of knowledge. You don't step out on it because you saw somebody else do it. You step out on it because God has revealed it to you. And when God's revealed it to you, you can take it to the bank. You can cash that check. God will back up everything he's ever revealed to you. He will not fail one single time. Now, let's more talk Sunday a little bit about potential and then reality or manifestation. And I want to go back there because, as I made a statement before, if it's true faith, true revelation, those works that Brother Moore is talking about, they will come out of you. That's how it works. Brother Branham, I read you the quote even Brother Branham, second what James said. A believer believes the word and takes it and lives it. It will happen in your life because you believe what you say you believe. Because it's a faith, a revelation to you. It will manifest out of your life. Now, potential and reality, let's talk about that a little bit. Because I thought what Brother Moore got to talking about their Sunday was quite astounding. And it takes us back to many things I've been taught here before. They all run. See, everything you hear here has got to run through previous information. If something I brought or James brought or Brother Moore brought wasn't able to tie to what's been taught here before, then don't tie it to your revelation. Everything's got to tie to your revelation. Or if you just don't understand, just put it on a shelf for a little while. Because everything's got to tie to your revelation. But you know, we've said this before. The Bible says, because you are sons, God has sent forth his spirit. The because you are sons is the potential. That means you were predestinated. That means you have a predestinated seed in you. That means you got potential. You realize what potential means? That means that you have the ability to become something. To actually manifest something. It's not something you're manifesting at that point, but the potential means that potential's there for you to become that thing that you want to be. Now, here's the first thing to say. Don't put potential down too much. It's not as great as manifestation, but if you don't have any potential, you ain't getting to manifest anything. Brother Branham said, in non-seed, there's nothing to quicken. So thank God for potential. Thank God because you were a son. Thank God you were in his mind before the foundation of the world. Thank God he saw you make your choice. You got to have potential. But that potential's got to actually turn in to the reality of what you have potential for.
That's right.
Because you are sons, needs to turn into manifested sons. Yeah. You say, what does that mean, Jeremiah? It's not just a seed. It's not just laying in there dormant. It actually gets quickened and comes to life and starts manifesting what's in it.
Amen. That's right.
That's what your new birth's all about.
Right.
Until you're born again, you're just a bunch of potential. But when the word strikes your path,
and God reveals himself to you, then you get a new birth. That seed in there gets quick and it starts sprouting to life. And what's in it? All that potential.
Amen.
Starts coming out. That's how this thing works. Potential's not where God wants to end. Potential's not good enough. God has always, in every case, wanted all of his thoughts, all of his words to manifest just as he saw them.
Amen.
No more, no less. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one word of mine will ever fail. So, point I'm trying to make here, you got to have potential. You need to be a thought. You need a predestinated seed. You got to start building the body. But it ain't fully where God wants it. Until what the potential is becomes the reality. Now, another way to say that is you're coming to church. You got a lot of potential in you. But there's a difference between having a lot of potential. Because how I've been going to church here a long time. I've looked at people before and said, man, that person's got a lot of potential. Some of those people I thought had a lot of potential, they're not here anymore. Some are. But let me tell you the difference. Some didn't go all the way. That potential didn't amount to anything. That potential didn't end up meaning anything. It didn't come to manifestation. It was just, I thought they had potential, but it didn't come to reality. But as long as you're sitting here, and it's just, I'm going to church, and it's not real to you, and you're not born again, you're just full of potential. But what's got to happen in your life is God's got to quicken his word to you. He's got to give you that revelation. You got to be born again, and then you start working. Another way to say it, manifesting the word of God for your hour. Somebody's got to do it. It's not just like he's got all the potential. Don't celebrate because we think you have a lot of potential. That ain't what we want. It's good you got potential. You got to start there. But let that potential turn into action.
Amen.
Let God come so real to you that you start moving on what he asked you to do.
Amen.
Let this word get preached to you and you say, that's nothing but truth. It's got to be a revelation. But let it become one with you.
Amen.
And then it'll start manifesting out of your life. Oh, I can see that person has a lot of potential. Well, if you don't get up and testify and give God a chance to use that potential, it ain't coming out of you. I'm just using simple examples. I can give you 100 of them. If you don't go out here and cut grass, then it's nice for me to say, yeah, that person's got a lot of potential. I've seen them do some good things. They could cut the grass for us. But you ain't never cut no grass? All that potential you have ain't doing me no good. I need that potential to turn into reality. It needs to turn into movement. It needs to turn into action. It needs to turn into a manifest and living, breathing word of God. That's what God wants. That's how God works. Search your Bible. And I'm not mean this in a mean way, but just think about your examples in the Bible. Name one where somebody just sat back. In every case, what God told them turned into a manifestation. Turned into somebody moving. Turn into somebody taking action. So don't get high and lifted up because you got potential.
No.
Oh, I'm a predestinated seed. I was in God's mind before the foundation of the world. You get my point. Let that turn into, I've been born again.
Amen.
This thing's real to me.
Amen.
There's no other place I'd rather be.
Amen.
I want to be at service every time I can go.
Amen.
I got a part to play. Let me sing. Let me testify. Let me go to the fellowship, whatever it may be. Let me do my part.
That's
right. You know what happens, Brother Moore? Eventually, the people you think have potential have never shown you action, you'll leave behind. That's like the fig tree. That fig tree, Jesus cursed, had potential in it. It had the ability in it to show fig leaves. Jesus walked by and said, you have potential, but you ain't producing nothing. I curse you. I'm going to just move on to the next one. Well, that's how it can be. You got potential, but you ain't never put it to action. You don't let that potential come out. Be careful. God will move on. He'll move on to the next potential. Because God's looking for somebody that's going to do it. He's looking for somebody that says amen. He's looking for somebody that will step out on his word. Take him at his word. And say, here am I, Lord, send me. Let me do it. Let me step up to the challenge. Let me be the one. I didn't want to preach when I got called to be a preacher. I think you read that Sunday where Reverend says the ones that don't want it, that's the ones you get. Well, all I'm using that as an example for is when something's real to you, despite yourself, despite your human nature, despite your nature being quiet, despite your nature not liking being in front of people, despite your nature of rather just being in your house alone, despite your nature of so many things, I could go down a list of why you shouldn't do this or shouldn't be that. In this case, why you shouldn't preach. But when it's real, it's real. And when God deals with you, he deals with you. And God always gets his man, so to speak, because he reveals himself to you, and then it's a hook. And I don't mean it's a hook like he's forced you. It just becomes your crave. It becomes your life. It becomes who you are, because God's made himself real to you. And despite yourself, you'll overcome yourself and go do what God's asked you to do. That's what God wants to see. It's not just good enough to be potential. You have to have it, but that potential's got to turn into reality. It's got to turn into action. You know, we've preached it before here. Brother Bram used the baby in the womb. Oh, you know the world. And I ain't preaching politics about abortion, but this has always amazed me because how simple we are that we know more than the world knows. And the educators say, oh, you're just silly, Jeremiah. But let me tell you what I know that they don't know. They think abortion is murder. They think abortion is killing a human being. And it's not. Now, we don't teach abortion around here. We don't take God-given life lightly. But we've learned from our prophet that until something actually takes the breath of life, it's not a living soul. It's just potential. And he actually said in multiple places, it moves in your womb, it's just nerves jerking around, living off his mother. It's potential. If it ain't never born, it's never a real living being accounted for by God himself. And the world actually thinks, oh, we're going to stop all these murders. You ain't stopping one murder. Because they never were alive to begin with.
Amen.
Now, I'm not here to go say abort, because we don't believe in that either. But I just want to make a point to you. That baby in that womb is not alive. It's just a bunch of potential. But oh my, let that baby come out of the womb. Let it cry. Let it take that breath. Now I got something different to tell you. Now there's life involved. Now it's accounted for. Now it's on record by God. Now it's on that book of life, so to speak. Oh, that means so much more. Potential, you're not even on the book of life. You got to get to reality, manifest to be on that book of life. Potential has got to have it, but common sense tell you got to have potential. You don't get pregnant, there's no potential to have that life. No nerves jerking in the womb, there ain't no baby coming. You need potential. But you can't stop there. It's got to become reality. It's got to become a manifestation. It's got to become action. Or it does you no good. And Brother Moore taught this so well Sunday. Same thing up here. That's why this was potential. As Brother Bram's tied to church, he's at the womb. It was a building of a body, but it wasn't fully formed. It wasn't standing on its feet. It was just potential. But oh my, it's no longer potential. It's actually Mrs. Jesus Christ now. She's standing on her feet. She knows who she is. She's got life in her now. You can't stop her no matter what. She's accounted for now. But I had to move from potential to reality. Or it would have not been a bride of Jesus Christ. But when all seven ages were formed and all the processes were done, and he said, now she's ready. She's made herself ready. And you said, how'd she make herself ready? In every age, somebody, by faith, did what they were supposed to do and stepped out. And every age, the real believer heard the word, lived the word, did the word, manifested the word, preached the word, was about the word. And that potential kept building up till one day it busted out. He said, this is what it's all been about. It's Mrs. Jesus Christ now. Oh, that's where we are. Oh, I'm making a point with this, but this is good to me. I don't want to get off it for a minute. Potential's good, and you got to have it. Every boy in here has got potential to be a father. They do. But if they never have a kid, it's just potential. But they got to have potential to ever have a shot to be a father. But the reality is what God wants.
That's right.
He's wanted that manifestation in every case. And my point in driving us home is it's the same way in every age. It's the same way in this hour. It's what the bride has done. She's built herself up. She made herself ready. She's married the groom. All because in each age there was a real believer that had real faith, that stepped out on the word, and action came out of them. And what the action was the word of God.
Amen.
And I have a quote up here I'll read before I get down. Brother Ram said, we're God's church. And he was expressing God lives in you every day. You're the one that's doing the action of God. I'll get to that in a little bit, but somebody's got to step up, Brother Moore. And as I started with, every real believer that has faith, it'll come out of you. It's not something you work up, educate up. You get a revelation. Next thing you know, I always tell you, you aren't going to church, and all of a sudden you can't help but go to church. Then the next thing happened, you start going to church, and you weren't singing, now you're singing. You weren't cleaning, now you're cleaning. You weren't fellowshipping, now you're fellowshipping. Never would have dreamed to go to South Carolina, now you're going to South Carolina. And the evidence ain't that you're going to, if you're not going to South Carolina this weekend, I'm not telling you don't got faith. I'm just trying to tell you, this revelation works in your life. It produces something in your life. It puts you into action. Somebody stands here and says, Lord, send me. That's how this perfect faith works. And in this hour, that's why we call it perfect faith, is we got perfect word. See, faith has been through all the ages. They had faith in every single age. On one side of the coin, it was perfect in the sense it was everything they needed for the age they were in. Perfect for them. On the other hand, this perfect faith we're talking about that couldn't show up until this end time, the reason why it couldn't show up is because they didn't have the full word.
That's right.
It takes full word. How does faith come? By the word of God.
Amen.
If you don't got full word, you can't have perfect word. If you don't have perfect word, you don't have perfect faith.
Amen.
But in the hour that we live in, we have perfect faith because we got perfect word.
Amen.
We have the full word of God on our hands. Now, if part word put them in the action, if part words made them have movement, how much more should perfect word put us in the action and make us have movement? How should we be acting today? How should we behave ourselves today? Oh, I could list things you do. You're thinking, well, what have I done? And I'm not even all together talking about your good living or bad living. Though God will deal with you and that'll come out of you too. I ain't getting rid of it either. But I'm talking about the revelation you got. Who else walks around just so assured taking their loved ones? Your actions prove you believe it. You stopped inviting them. You don't try to beg them to church and give them church age books every single time you see them. Your faith, your action shows that you really believe that you're going to take them with you, whether they ever show up in here or not. Because if you didn't, you'd be trying to give them a church age book. You'd be inviting them every service. You'd be trying to force feed them the Word of God. But because you actually have a real revelation that the token is that you apply to your family, you're resting on that. Your actions prove that you really believe that. Then you go to work. And you got people that treat you nice. Oh, that's what happened to me in Germany. I get a kick out of every time. I know somebody named Frank, and he just makes my day every time he treats me good. This man's going to heaven. Who else acts like that? That's by faith. My actions speak a lot of words. I don't try to convert him. I don't tell who William Branham is. He's a good German Lutheran is all he is. He ain't stepped up to none of where I'm at. As a matter of fact, he works too much to even come to church. Shame on him. But you know the one thing he does right? He takes care of the bride.
Amen.
He helps her along the way.
Yeah.
Gives a glass of water.
Yeah.
Tells you, gives directions, says, here's how you're going to do better.
Amen.
And because he helps me, I got revelation. I got faith. And my action says, I'm at peace.
Amen.
You just keep doing what you're doing.
Amen.
You keep working hard.
Yeah.
You keep taking care of me. Oh, it's going to be all right, Frank. All's going to be okay. But that my action shows that I'm resting on that.
Amen.
Otherwise, because I like him. And if you like somebody, you want to take care of him.
That's right.
And if I didn't think he could be saved, I'd be trying to save him. Because I like him, Brother Moore. But because I have a revelation, I act on it.
Amen.
I act like it. I go home and rest. If he dies tonight, I'll see him in the morning.
Amen.
I'll go to him. As David said, he won't come to me.
That's right.
I'll see him again.
Amen.
But my faith proves, or my actions prove I got belief in that.
Amen.
Because I stand out on it. It's so real to me. It's a substance to me.
Amen.
And now the real one I want to get to. I believe in a rapture. Oh, I'm like Noah. I know what science says. Every day I wake up, I see some new article, some new thing science is trying to prove. They got an article today. Somebody thinks they can prove that we're in a simulation. And I thought to myself, you know, the devil perverts everything. Because I can sit here and tell you now, don't let this scare you. I'm living out what God's already saw. Just so you know. I'm living out what Elohim already saw. Let me put Elohim on. I'm living out what Elohim already seen happen. If that's what a simulation means to you, then I'm living in a simulation. But it's not because of your physics. Not because of your science. Not because of your education. It's because of God. And my revelation tells me how this thing works. So I know what I know. But I'm not confounded by science. I ain't confounded by what they can prove or disprove. I ain't confounded by how high they can go in the space and tell me what's up there and what's not up there. I don't believe half of what they say anyhow. And then they got some things right. I ain't taking that away from them either. Because God allowed them to get some things right. So, but their proof ain't what's going to prove something to me. I believe this body can change despite what they say. I believe God has already started the process of my body changing. I believe it so much I'm going to keep coming to church and hearing the word preached to me service after service until I walk myself out of here just like Enoch. I'm a believer like Enoch that obeys every word God gives me. I don't stumble at God's word. I don't stumble what he asked me to do. If he asked me to run through the wall, that's what we're going to do. I'm ready to jump at the drop of a hat. I'm ready because I'm a real believer. I'm like Noah, I'm going to build an ark when they tell me I'm silly. I'm going to believe in a rapture when they tell me it can't happen. I'm going to go to church when it's not popular. Even on a Wednesday. Some people give God Sunday. They can't almost believe you go on a Wednesday. That's the middle of the week. Got things to do. You're exactly right, I do got things to do. I got to get to church. But my actions will prove that I believe what I'm telling you. If you don't see me next 2-3 Wednesdays, and it's not because I told you I was going on a trip, then you have a right to doubt what I'm telling you tonight. Oh, I love God. I'm going now. I can't wait to get to Wednesday. You don't see me next Wednesday, then I lied to you. And it wasn't real. But you start seeing me come every Wednesday, every Sunday, that I can be here. You see me start getting involved. Then you got something you can believe. And you know, that's the best I can do with you. That's the best you can do with me. I believe you're a believer because you've recognized your day in this message. That's the only evidence that Brother Branham gave me. You want to know what the real proof of that will be one day? Is when I see you with your body change just like I got one. Now, I ain't taking it away from you. Don't get my message wrong. I believe you got it. I believe for you. But I'm just telling you, the real proof of that will be the body change. The real manifestation of that. Because even Paul himself says we're waiting on the full manifestation of the Son of God. You know what that is? We've already had the first phase of that. That's that change of the soul. But this whole three rims got to be perfect. I got to have that glorified body. When I see you in a glorified body, I will know for sure you were really one of them. No more potential. The best I can do right now is by faith say, they recognize their dangerous message. They're believers. They're going with me. But one day, it won't just be by faith. I'll see you. You'll be sitting at the wedding supper staring at me, rejoicing with me. And we'll be able to look at each other. Oh, that was real. We were real. You're the real deal. Now I know. You believe what you said you believe. But action's got to follow. That's how perfect faith works. It produces action. Really, pretty much automatically. Now, you know, we're flesh, and flesh will get in the way, and little things, we're stubborn. But that's just temporary. That's just flesh. That ain't all I'm talking about. This thing's real to you, it'll show. This thing changed your life, it'll show. Everybody will see it. It won't be potential. Just remember, potential you got to have. It's good. Thank God for potential. Thank God because you are Son. But the greater portion of that is manifest Son. And remember what I told you. It's good you got some potential. Let that potential turn into action. Don't leave it there. Let God deal with you. I ain't saying it's all going to come out of you in one day. It ain't never worked that way. But God will start dealing with you. And things will start coming out of you. Before you know it, you're doing more things you ever thought you could do. But let that potential into you turn into reality. Don't be like the fig tree. Able to produce figs, but don't produce. That's what God wants. But the way you get that production is the way I told you. You got to come to church. Let him preach to you. Let him give you a revelation. Information after information, that revelation just grows. Your faith grows. You get stronger and stronger. Before you know it, you'll be up here one day talking like Don Deskins. I don't even like to say the devil's real. He knows he's real. But he just puts the devil in his place. I don't even like to call him by name. He ain't got no room here. I got too much revelation to even give him a time of day. Go sit in the corner. I don't even want to talk to you. You don't get that way overnight. You get that because God's built your faith. That's why the elders obtain a good report. They kept getting that revelation after revelation, hearing the word after word, hearing preaching after preaching. Before you know it, they're up here almost preaching to you, encouraging you, telling you what to do. That's how this thing works. That's how it always works. I jumped around a lot here, but I am going to get to my quote I told you. Then I'm going to get down. Brother Branham and Why Christ Speak. Now, you know what's so funny about that message is that's the message where Moses had all the commission in the world. God already gave him his commission, told him he's going to be with him, told him to lead the people to Israel. Moses comes up to the water. Got nervous. Lord, what must I do? You know what God did? Rebuked him. Why criest thou unto me? I already gave your commission. You already got revelation. Speak and go forward. That's what God's always wanted the believer to do. Anyhow, let me read this. Brother Branham says, there is only one real church, and you don't join it. You're born into it. And if you're born into it, the living God works himself through you and makes and making himself known. See? That's where God dwells in his church. God goes to church every day. Just lives in church. He lives in you. You are his church. You are his church. You are the tabernacle that God dwells in. You are the church of the living God yourself. And this is, I wanted to make that because that means you're an ambassador. That means you're the living, moving God in life every day. And if the living God lives in his living being, then your action is of God. If it isn't, then God isn't there. He wouldn't make you act like that when he says in the word, his blueprint, don't do it. And you go do it. See, that's wrong. When you deny it, it shows that the life isn't even in you. Then he uses an example. He said, faith led Moses to the path of obedience. There is Moses and there's young Pharaoh. There's young Moses, both of them with the opportunity. Moses seen the reproach of the people and counted it greater treasures than all Egypt had. And he led by faith. He followed what his faith said in the word, and it led him to the path of obedience and finally to glory immortal, never to die in the presence of God. Moses chose the affliction of his fellow men over the treasures that Pharaoh could have given. Moses went into action. By faith. Pharaoh, on the other hand, Brother Branham says, we read him, sights and senses led and glamour led Pharaoh to his death and the destruction of Egypt, his nation, and it's never come back since. And I read that today, because that's true. Egypt's never been in the condition it was since Pharaoh's ever. Now, just to show you this, Moses had faith, Pharaoh had knowledge or wisdom, worldly wisdom. Because everything in the world would have said Pharaoh's got armies, he's got more people, and he's just a bunch of people out there, mud daubers. Pharaoh had horses, he had the things to win the war. By earthly knowledge, it would have just made sense. Pharaoh thought, you ain't going nowhere, I got everything to stop you. But Moses had faith. Went down there with a stick in his hand. Think about that. Brought him out of a stick against a man that had armies. But that's how faith works, people. Brother Ram says, now make your choice. That's the same thing God put before Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. By faith, you must make your choice. And notice, sight led Pharaoh to his death and to destruction of his city. Moses, with his faith, never did fear Pharaoh. Never did. He didn't care what Pharaoh said. He cared not about Pharaoh no more than his mother and his daddy cared about their threats. When Moses was confirmed to him and he was that person that was delivered Egypt or leaded Israel out of Egypt, he never cared what Pharaoh said. He wasn't scared of him. Amen. You see what I mean? There's no fear of faith. Faith knows about it. Faith, as I've always said, it's got great big muscles. It's got hairs on its chest. Faith says, shut up, and everybody shuts up. That's all I know. That's all I know where I'm at. I'm driving home the point. You're the church of living God that's going to have the action of God in your life. And you do it because of faith. not with your knowledge, not with understanding. You do it because God's revealed himself to you. And then that faith will automatically produce the word of the hour. God bless you. Come on, Pastor Mark.
Now in a world of perfect faith. That's what the bride's living in. We have faith. I was thinking when he was preaching, I remembered when Brother Branham talked about going to the other side. And when Paul and his people went in and the roar went up, and Brother Branham asked who it was, and they said, "Well, that's Paul and his people." Brother Branham said, "Well, if they made it, I'll make it, because I preach what Paul preached." And what did they respond to him? They said, "We're resting on it." And when Jeremiah is talking about resting, I said, you know what? We're resting on the same thing that they're resting on. The promises. We don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about our loved ones. We don't have to worry about trying to do something, to make something, present something. And we know who we are now. We're walking in a world of perfect faith. And as far as potential, God has always used potential. He used potential in everything. And I won't get into it, but I was just thinking about potential. And, you know, even with your new birth, Brother Branham said, your new birth is potential. It's a down payment. It's not all of it. It's potential. The Bible, Paul talks about it, he calls it the earnest. See, the earnest isn't the full payment. When you buy a car or when you buy a house or you buy something, you just get the down payment. So even when God used potential, he used it in everything. He used it in his own creation. He used it in salvation. He used it in our walk with him. He used it in our receiving our glorified body. Every last one, every bit of that is potential in the eyes of God until the manifestation. So we're sitting here today, even if you have the Holy Ghost, it's potential for your glorified body. You say, well, I'm going to get it because I've got the Holy Ghost, right? Yeah, you are. But all you got now is a down payment. You got the earnest. But we won't be satisfied until it's totally done away with, until we get rid of these other two rims and we get our glorified body and our theophany and our soul in the same place at the same time. And once we get that, it won't be any more potential. It'll be 100% reality. And so until we get that, we walk by faith. And that's why we're different than the rest of the world. We're resting on the promises. Just like they're resting on the promises, they on the other side, those the ones that said we're resting on it were the believers of this message, of what Brother Branham preached. So they're resting on it, and we're resting on what Brother Branham preached. So we're all with the same potential waiting for that glorified body. And it won't be long. And when the potential becomes reality, then there's no more need for faith. Because faith, you only need that until the reality. I have faith that my car is going to get me home. But when I get home, I don't have to have faith for that anymore because I'll be there. And we have faith that the new birth that we have is going to take us home. And we'll hold on to that until the reality. And then when we get our glorified body, you won't be sitting there saying, "Oh, I need faith. I have to have faith for..." No, no. You only need faith until you see it. When it becomes sight, it's no longer faith. So he said, "Well, won't we have faith over there?" You won't need the faith over there like we need it over here. You'll get a lot of revelation, a lot of understanding over there, because we'll continue to learn. But you won't be sitting there thinking, Oh, am I a son of God? I'm a son of God. Sitting at the marriage supper and you're wondering, am I a son of God? Jesus needs to just knock you in the head. But he won't have to, because we have faith. But once we get there to the marriage supper, it's not about us anymore and us getting there. And we will be there. Our loved ones will be there. We'll go to the great white throne judgment after 1,000 years, and we won't be sitting there all humble thinking, oh, I don't deserve to be here. You're not even going to think the way you think now. You're going to say, I'm the queen. I'm the wife. I'm here on behalf of my people. Who are your people? Your loved ones. The foolish virgins, those that have done you well. You're going to be boldly standing before the throne of God on their behalf. Not on your behalf, on their behalf. He stood there on your behalf. Now you're going to stand there on their behalf.
Amen.
So my goodness, we got things to do. We don't have time to fool around here. We got things to do. Well, speaking of things to do, we're going to be here, those of us who are leaving tomorrow. 4:30, they want us here so they could pack the cars and pack the van and see how we're going to get it all in there. And then on Friday morning, the same thing for those who are leaving on Friday morning, be here the same time, and we will see you all in South Carolina. Now, this is different for us, to take the church and go for a 4-day meeting. We've not done that. I think the last time we did that was when Brother Baker and him was in Indiana doing Easter. We used to go over there for the Easter services, and we'd go over Thursday or Friday and stay till Sunday, and had a great time. And so it's a good opportunity for those of you who could come and go with us, do so. And if you can't come and go with us, pray for us. And we'll see you when we get back, Lord willing. I don't know whether they've got any plans on recording the service. I know we have the ability to take the recorder stuff with us, so we might do that so you all can. Those who didn't get to come, maybe we'll put it on the internet or something, then where you can get access to it. But that's what we're doing, and we are ready for this journey. We've been talking about it and talking about it. For those who some didn't realize that we're actually having service every night. We'll be a Thursday night service, Friday night, Saturday night, and then Sunday morning. So yeah, there's going to be services every day. During the day, we'll be fellowshipping with each other, and maybe we'll go out a little bit. Who knows what we'll do? But we'll have the day to ourselves, and the evening we'll have the services. So we'll make it all work together. Amen. So come on, musicians, we're getting ready to close. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. The key of F. Amen. If you can't get to church here, Sundays that will be closed. We won't have Sunday morning nor Sunday night service here. If you're in town and not going anywhere, now is the time for you to go to the church of your choice. Don't just stay home because we're not here. If you can't get a loaf, get a piece. If you can't get a piece, if you can't get a meal, get a snack. Get something. Respect the Lord's day. It's still the Lord's day, and he wants us to be actively about his business, his ambassadors. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless it. We do it for you.
done great things. Oh, he has done great things.